Well, good morning again.
Good morning.
Hope you had a wonderful week. And if you didn't, well, I'm praising the Lord that you're here because this is the right place to be if you didn't have a wonderful week. We'll be looking at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27 this morning. Last week I addressed the women about their roles as wives, according to verses 22 through 24. And this week it turns and Paul starts talking to husbands. So grab your Bibles and open them up to the 25th verse of the 5th chapter of the book of Ephesians. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Let's pray. O Lord, we give glory to your name. We praise you, Father, for this word that you've given to us this day. I pray, Lord, that it would sink deep into our hearts and for us to recognize that your word has penetrated our hearts and for us to respond to it as you have called us to respond. I thank you, Lord, that you've called me to preach these words, and I praise you for it, and I ask that you would give me the wisdom to speak and that the words coming from my mouth would only come from what you want spoken. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Okay. I'll be honest with you right up front. It's a lot easier for me to speak to husbands than it was to speak to the wives last week. That was a very uncomfortable passage for me, very uncomfortable subject. But now that Paul has changed and started talking to the husbands, I feel a lot more easier talking to the guys. However, ladies, don't just tune out thinking there's nothing here for you because Paul's addressing husbands. One thing I will say about the upcoming verses to the ladies is you have to be willing recipients of what God has called husbands to do. And if that being a willing recipient is part of your submission that we talked about last week from Paul. So I want you to listen this week with an ear towards reception as we address the husbands. Okay. Now back to the men. Husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. All right, so what does that mean? We often shorten it to husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And part of the reason is because husbands, do not give ourselves up for our wives the same way that Jesus gave up himself for our wives, because we can't save them or sanctify them through our own efforts and words. But it's not just metaphorical here. There is a clear imperative. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. What did Christ do for the church? He died for the church. He was self-sacrificial in his efforts to save the church. So, by example, the Lord is calling husbands to be self-sacrificial for their wives. As we go through these three verses today, I'm going to have a lot of practical application, more so than the theological truth I'm bringing out of these verses. Husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church, being self-sacrificial. Well, what does that look like? Sometimes that looks like us not going ahead and getting what we want, but instead sacrificing our desire for some activity or some inactivity to be loving to our wives. Okay, got that, understand it. But what does that look like? What does it look like when we deny our desires and show love to our wives? Well, I don't know about you, but one of the ways it works for me is to not just sit there like a lump on a log. Too much. I'm a guy. I don't have as many words as women do. I don't have as many words as my wife has. So I'm going to look like a lump on a log for some period of time while waiting to figure out what I'm supposed to say. But being willing to interact with her and talk with her. What is, when you talk with marriage counselors, one of the most common responses from women about what they are frustrated with about their husband is that he won't talk to me. And of course, guys go, what are we supposed to talk about? Right? That's our response. What's challenging for us as guys is to recognize that when a wife wants us to talk to her, she's not really that interested in delineating task, who's going to do this, or accomplishing some particular end to the conversation. She just needs to know that we are interacting with her as part of our loving her. Am I right, women? I see a couple of heads nodding, but I'm not heard the, oh, yes, amen, Pastor. Oh, you're being submissive. What? Lord, help me. Even when I throw a softball to you women, you still won't take it. I guess that's a good sign of your maturity as believers and as women in Christ. So we love them in a self-sacrificing way. We talk with them. They want us to connect with them on an emotional level. And I know for most of us, the last thing we want to do is connect to them on an emotional level. Not because we don't love them, but because it's so uncomfortable for us to do that. But part of loving our wives as Christ loved the church is to get uncomfortable so that we can love our wives in a loving way. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Peter gives us a little bit of an insight as to what Paul is saying when Paul says, love our wives as Christ loved the church. Peter gives us a little more definition to that. So verse 7 of 1 Peter chapter 3. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the women as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. So we see here from Peter, guys, that we actually have a benefit from loving our wives in such a way. Our prayers are not hindered. Okay, so what does that mean, Peter? Well, what I think he means is that if we are not loving our wives, we are not being obedient to Christ and obedient to the Father. And as a result of that disobedience, our prayers are hindered. Because anytime we are in disobedience, our prayers are hindered. I didn't say they're not heard. I said they're hindered. God the Father still hears our prayers even when we're in disobedience. But our request of him is often hindered, and he is slow to respond in the positive when we're in disobedience. And that's true for men and women. Doesn't matter what your gender is. If we're in disobedience, our prayers are going to be hindered. And then, of course, the answer and the solution is quite obvious. Stop doing the disobedience. Instead, repent with a penitent heart and return back to the Lord from your disobedience. Peter also said, in an understanding way. Live with your wives in an understanding way. Well, what does that mean? Well, I think what it means is that we as husbands are to show kindness and gentleness towards our wives, especially in areas of disagreement. It is okay to have a disagreement about something. What is not okay is to get into yelling, screaming, and name-calling. We as men, when there's a disagreement, are to take the lead in showing grace and mercy to our wives as we talk through this disagreement. Sometimes that mercy and grace takes the form of letting them get it out. In some instances, the disagreement is not so much about whatever the subject is. It's the wife feeling like she's not heard and needing to just get all of this out of her body through speak. Am I right, ladies? As I mentioned earlier, the biggest complaint that most women have when they come into marriage counseling is that the man won't talk to her or they won't listen to her. Of course, the other challenge is that the difference between men and women. Women are more emotional typically than men are. Men in general are more logical about solving a problem. And therein lies part of the struggle for us men, is we want to solve the problem. And that's not necessarily what our wives are asking for. We should be patient with our wives, and we should listen to them. As I mentioned last week, God gives us our wives for a purpose, to be the other half of our personhood. God has given them to us because they are to complement us. And that complementarianism takes the form of them having ideas and perspectives that we may not have considered yet. And to listen to them and to listen to the wisdom they have to share with us on a particular subject. And look, I know this is all easy to say and really hard to do for us as guys. And that's part of our sin nature. Part of the problem of the curse when Adam sinned against God was that in our fleshly desires, we want what we want, both men and women. And in those desires comes oftentimes we want the relationship with our wife to be on our terms and on our way. But our wives are so different from us that we can't just have it our way. That's not self-sacrificial love if we're demanding it our way, guys. Let's move on to verse 26. That he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. This idea of washing with water, meaning cleansing the church, is better understood by looking at Titus chapter 3, verse 5. He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. Okay, Jesus washes his church and cleanses her by the renewal of regeneration and the working of the Holy Spirit. Okay, but what's that got to do with us, guys? How do husbands imitate that? Well, I think that we start by recognizing that just as Christ has cleansed us, He causes us to cleanse our wives in a unique and very special way. We don't have the ability nor the capacity to sanctify our wives. But when we are with them, sharing the word of Christ through the scriptures and instructing them through the scriptures, that is one way we sanctify our wives. And remember when I began the sermon, ladies, and said you have to be willing recipients? This is one of those cases where if your husband decides to step up to the plate and speak the word to you in reading God's word out loud and trying to work through it together to get a greater and deeper understanding of the scriptures, you need to receive this gift that your husband's trying to give you. Then he says, after sanctifying her by washing of water with the word. On the subject of washing water, there is a self-sacrificial way that men can love their wives. I know this is technically getting away from the theological truth here to a more practical application of it. But men, you can wash your wives' feet. We can humble ourselves to get down on our knees, remove our wives' shoes and socks if they're wearing them, preparing a bowl of water and washing their feet. That's an example of loving our wives. You say, okay, how is washing her feet an example of loving her? Well, first off, we have the example of Christ at the Last Supper, went around washing the feet of his disciples. If Jesus can wash his disciples' feet, being the Lord Jesus Christ, then we as men can humble ourselves to what looks like the menial task of washing our wives' feet. Now, what will that do for us men if we were to humble ourselves in such a way? Well, we immediately get the benefit of humbling ourselves. This act of washing our wives' feet causes us to stop thinking so pridefully as we might be doing. But it is also going to bless us with the gift of our wives' appreciation. What do I mean by the wives' appreciation? Our wives will have a great appreciation for us humbling ourselves and doing this physical act of love for them. There in some sectors of Christianity, foot washing is a very major practice that they do as part of their worship of Christ. We do not follow that practice as these other denominations or sectors of Christianity do. But maybe we should. Being a man who's had his foot washed by his wife, that was humbling in and of itself to have her wash my feet. Obedience to Christ takes many forms, men. And self-sacrificial love of our wives takes many forms. Each of our wives here that we have with us, each of them are very different from the other women in the congregation. And what is a self-sacrificing love to my wife may not be a self-sacrificing love to your wife. That's why we're always studying our wives, to understand them better in who their personhood is and who their heart is. Ultimately, the idea of pursuing your wife is to pursue the understanding of who her heart is and what her heart is and the why of her heart. I acknowledge right away that such a task is very difficult. Because we are so different, men, we are wired so differently from our wives, it's very difficult for us to study our wives in such a way that we begin to understand her heart. But nonetheless, that is what Christ has called us to do in an act of self-sacrificing love towards our wives. Let's take a look at verse 27. So that Jesus might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. That he might present the church to himself in splendor. Now, again, we can't do what Christ does, men. But we can do something here that he's calling us to do as an example of Christ. Present our wives to Jesus in a way that is in splendor. Whoa. What does that mean? What does that look like? Well, we are supposed to do things that build our wives up into a glowing beauty. The kind that you can't buy from makeup or a spa. Loving and kind words towards our wives. Sharing with them from the scriptures. I hope that each one of you men are spending time in the Word every day, and that in the process of doing so, you're discovering something about Christ, about the scriptures, or about yourself. And then when you discover those things, share them with your wives. This is what it means to be a mature, believing husband. To grow our wives up into this glowing beauty that I've described. Now, granted, we cannot do anything. The only person we have control over is ourselves. This again comes back to where I talked about receiving. If your husband is loving you in a Christ-like way, and he is seeking to build you up so that you have this radiant glow, then you need to receive it, ladies. You would think that such an action would be easy for women to receive. But the reality is life happens. And as a result of life happening, wounds occur within our wives' husbands. Wounds that we may not have had anything to do with. But they are present in our wives' hearts nonetheless. And as a result, they interfere with her receiving what it is we're giving to them. When that occurs, you need to be praying earnestly for your wife. The one thing you cannot do is fix her past wounds that she has before you met her. But you can pray earnestly for the Spirit to be at work within her to cleanse and cure her hurts. And the truth be known, men, same is true for us. We have wounds that she may not have had anything to do with, but yet they interfere and inhibit us from being able to love our wives in a Christ-like manner. And if that's the case, ladies, you need to be praying earnestly for your husbands. Marriage is a gift from the Lord Jesus. It's a gift from God the Father. It is a gift sanctified by the Holy Spirit. It was ordained by God at the beginning of mankind before the fall. Marriage wasn't a makeup situation to cover up for something that occurred in the fall. Marriage was a gift that occurred before the fall, and God called it good when he made marriage. No, he didn't use those specific words as he did during the 6 days of creation that he called marriage good. but by blessing it and sanctifying it through his word and through his speaking over Adam and Eve, he declared marriage good. On this idea of spotless and radiant, let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 16, verses 6 through 14. This is the Lord calling his bride to himself from the prophet Ezekiel. And the bride that he's calling to himself is Israel itself as a people. But it applies to Lord Jesus today in that he, in the same way as God is calling Israel, Jesus calls to his church. So starting with the sixth verse of chapter 16. And when I passed by you and saw you wallowing in your blood, I said to you in your blood, live. I said to you in your blood, live. He repeats himself. Remember what I've said about God repeating himself? It's like your mother using your middle name. You better get up and pay attention. Verse 7, I made you flourish like a plant of the field and grew you up and became tall and arrived at full adornment. Your breasts were formed and your hair had grown, yet you were naked and bare. When I passed by you again and saw you, behold, you were at the age of love, and I spread the corner of my garment over you and covered you in your nakedness. I made my vow to you and entered into a covenant with you, declares the Lord God, and you became mine. Then I bathed you with water and washed off your blood from you and anointed you with oil. I clothed you also with embroidered clothing and shod you with fine leather. I wrapped you in fine linen and covered you with silk. And I adorned you with ornaments and put bracelets on your wrist and a chain on your neck. And I put a ring in your nose and earrings in your ears and a beautiful crown on your head. Thus, you were adorned with gold and silver and your clothing was fine linen and silk and embroidered cloth. You ate fine flour and honey and oil. You grew exceedingly beautiful and advanced to royalty. And your renown went forth among the nations because of your beauty. For it was perfect through the splendor I had bestowed on you, declares the Lord. Here we see this marriage imagery used by God to talk about his love and his acts of mercy, grace, and love towards his people Israel. In the similar way, as I mentioned, Christ calls the church and loves it, filling it with fine clothing and putting a crown upon the church's head, which by proxy means that if God has called all of us to be the church, he's put a crown on our heads too. And men, coming back to practical ways of loving our wives, sometimes that crown needs to be lifted off her head and given a good cleaning and then replaced back on her head. And likewise, women, sometimes you need to shine the crown that Christ has put on your husband's head. So what does that look like? What does it mean to shine the crown on our head? Because none of us wear crowns. Well, that's metaphorical language, obviously. And it could take on many forms. It could take on the form of some physical act, like I mentioned, washing the feet earlier. Or it can take on an emotional act, like buying your wife's flowers. But in all situations and in all the circumstances that it's carried out, it means to love our wives in a gentle and understanding way. And if you think your wife's crown needs to be lifted off, you should do it with humility and gentleness. Again, being very practical this moment. As we talked about, Ezekiel talks about adorning with fine clothing and linen and silk. Sometimes, men, we just need to let our wives buy some new clothes. That's self-sacrificing, because I don't know about you, but the minute she talks about buying clothes, I'm like, oh, I could use that money to go fishing. Right? It's true, isn't it? All of us fall into that same trap. But instead, we should correct ourselves and go, wait, love our wives the way that Christ loved the church, in a self-sacrificial way. Honey, go out and buy some clothes, and here's the parameters for what you can do. That's part of leading our wives, men, is to set parameters for her to operate within. But those parameters are set in a self-sacrificing way. Isn't it amazing how the Lord described his bride in Ezekiel chapter 16? Now, I know some of it was a little bit gory with chapter 16 of Ezekiel. But he was describing that when he talked about her being in her blood. He was talking about it as in the birthing pains, right after birth. And he was the one that washed off the blood from the newborn bride and then raised her up into a beautiful, fine, radiant, glowing woman and gave herself to him. And what we see happening in Ezekiel is exactly what we will see happening to Christ in the church. He bore us through the blood of his own body to bring birth to the church. Then he washed us and sanctified us through the renewal of regeneration and the washing of the Holy Spirit. And as I mentioned earlier, we as men can't do that for our wives, but we can imitate it. And women, as uncomfortable as some of this sounds that I've spoken of, you can receive it. I'm in awe of Christ's love for us, that he would do all he has done for us as the church and as individual children of God. Scripture defines us as the children of God and Jesus as our brother. But he's the firstborn brother, the one who's given all authority from the Father. And he is the one who saves us and washes us clean. He is the loving Christ who cares for us. And men, this brings us to an uncomfortable moment here when I describe all of this about Christ loving the church and taking her as his bride. That means we too are his bride. And we are so caught up in our roles as men and women that we as men have an uncomfortable thought. It's uncomfortable for us to think about being Jesus' bride. Well, we should receive that just as the women should receive so much of what our love is given to them. And of course, everything I've been describing is only possible through the power of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's indwelling power within us, men. Without the Holy Spirit, we'll never, ever be Christ-like in loving our wives. And so my prayer for each and every one of the husbands in this room on this Mother's Day, my prayer for you is that the Holy Spirit will dwell with you in might and power so that you can love your wives easily and without straining effort to do so. Let's pray. Lord, wow. Thank you so much for loving us the way you have loved us individually and as the church. And Father, we give ourselves to you, Lord Jesus, as our husband and as our Savior and as the one who washes us clean into splendor. Lord Jesus, We pray that you would receive our offerings that we bring to you in love and kindness and devotion. And I pray, Lord, that the men in this room would experience the power of the Holy Spirit in such a way that it is easy for them to love their wives. Lord, I pray that you would bless us, that you would strengthen us in our marriages and in our relationships with each other, so that it's a beautiful and glorious thing to watch the men and women of this congregation as husbands and wives and the beautiful relationship they share with each other. In Jesus' holy name, amen.